listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today we are looking at Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through chapter 19, verse 10. But before we begin, would you join us in prayer? Lord, we gather here today, ever seeking your presence in our lives, ever seeking as to how we can best serve you. And so, O Lord, as we reflect on your word for us today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever gone on a long trip with someone that you don't know very well? It's an interesting thing to consider, really, when you think about it. You know, as you travel, you get to know one another better. You get to learn what you have in common. You get to learn about the things you don't have in common. And when you're done the trip, one of two things can happen. You're good friends. You keep in contact regularly. You might even plan another trip. Or you want to be done with them. Never want to see them again. You know, if someone dares utter their name, you don't want to be anywhere near there. I've been on a couple adventures where I've traveled with people I don't know very well. And I honestly can say that I've probably experienced both outcomes. Maybe not as dramatically as that. But I've found people I consider to be good friends now. And there's people I've traveled with that I never speak to or never have spoken to again. It's a way of life, right? I mean, we can't be friends with everyone. We aren't compatible with every person we come in contact with. Some people just rub one another the wrong way. And it's probably really better if we all just move on to the people we like. Am I right? Now I know Jesus said to love our neighbors as God so loves us, and we try to do our best. But honestly, sometimes it's easier to love people when they're far away. I see you know what I mean. I mean, I can still love them. I just don't need to see them every day. Well, we've made it to the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we've been traveling together for these last number of weeks. And we've been hearing about Jesus and this journey to Jerusalem. I hope you still all like one another. I mean, we've been traveling with Jesus too. I mean, we were up there on top of the mountain with him when he was transfigured, transformed, and he met with Moses and Elijah. We were there with him not that long ago. And ever since, he's been heading to Jerusalem, and we've been walking that path with him. And we've heard some pretty powerful stories along the way. I mean, we heard the parable of the Good Samaritan and how important it is to show love to our neighbors, no matter who they are. We've heard the importance of repentance from sin and how God will pour out his life into us when we receive the gift of eternal life by coming to know him. We've heard how God never stops looking for his lost children. And when he finds us and we find him, there's great rejoicing and celebration in God's kingdom. And finally, Jesus taught us it's not how rich or poor we are, it's how we treat one another with what we have. You know, that by doing this shows the importance of how, shows us a priority of God in our lives. What a journey it's been over these last number of weeks. And every step of the way, Jesus has challenged us to rethink what it means for us to be a child of God. From how we act, to how we spend our money, to how we view the world around us, Jesus has pushed us hard on the Lenten journey this year. And in the end, we are blessed to know we are children of God. So how has the journey been for you so far? Have you drawn closer to God through these challenging stories from Jesus? Or do you feel like he's pushed you away, that you feel further from God? Think about those who pulled away from Jesus in his ministry. Those were the people who were unwilling to take to heart the real love of God he was offering to them. You know, by inviting people to recognize the errors of the ways they were seeing things, Jesus was inviting them and all of us to see how God sees the world around us and how we fit into it as his children. Simply, Jesus invites us to become more like him. In a reading today from the end of Luke 18 into the first part of Luke 19, these are the last stories we will look at before Jesus enters into the city of Jerusalem. And he enters it for the final time. It begins with a reminder that we're making this journey with Jesus and why he's making it. He mentions it a number of times since he left for Jerusalem, since the Transfiguration. Jesus wants to know why this journey is so important. And he tells it a couple of times. So he says in our reading today, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." It's in Jerusalem, Jesus tells us, that the Old Testament prophecies will be fulfilled. It's a place where he will die, and it will not be pretty. We also read that the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Now, this is the third time Jesus has said it since he left the mountain, and since they turned to Jerusalem. And the disciples don't ever seem to get it. We learn today from our reading that it was withheld from them. It was hidden from them. The meaning of what Jesus was saying was hidden from them. One thing is clear about the disciples. They do sure love Jesus. But they don't quite get who he truly is. Sure, they show little glimpses of hope that maybe they've just figured it out, but that rarely happens, and most of the times they truly don't understand the magnitude of who Jesus is. I like to think that if they did understand who Jesus was as the Son of God, then what would happen in Jerusalem would be quite different. That they would fight a little harder to get him to stay out of the city. That if they believed he was going there to die, they would fight a lot harder to keep him from going in. And that once they get to the city, they would be a lot less likely to desert him when the time comes. Now, maybe not. This is all hypothetical, of course. But the question, I think, for us today is, why don't they get it? Why is the message hidden from them, as we're told? Well, the simple answer is they don't have the Holy Spirit to interpret it for them, to reveal it to them. Even as we read it today, when we sit and read our Bibles, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the meaning of the scriptures we read so that we can truly see who Jesus is as the Son of God, the one who has come to reconcile, to save the world to himself. Now, we can know the stories for sure, but we can't know the will of God without the revelation from the Holy Spirit. And many people over the last 2,000 years have read and heard the stories of Jesus, but they don't see the capital T, truth, within them. The truth that Jesus reveals to us all as being God's Son, the one who has come to be our Lord and Savior. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. I mean, when you look at the disciples after they receive the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, notice how different they are. They finally understand everything Jesus has been telling them and showing them. But not only that, they get the full meaning. They truly understand the importance of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. They understand that they have been receiving glimpses into God's heavenly kingdom. And they know that he is the way to salvation. It's the power of the Holy Spirit which compels them to share this new information that they've been revealed. And they do it with everyone they meet. But for now, they don't get it. We know they will, but for now they don't. In the meantime, these words keep getting planted into their heads so that when the Holy Spirit is revealed to them, they can grow and flourish into true meaning. It will give them new meaning, a powerful meaning, a life-changing meaning. So as Jesus continues on to Jerusalem, they come upon the village of Jericho. Now, Jericho is not too far from Jerusalem. It's about 20, 25 kilometers. So, you know, think about here to Sydney. You know, it's not that far. And as Jesus approaches the village, there is a blind beggar. And he hears the crowd passing by, and he wonders who it is. So he asks, and they tell him that it's Jesus passing by. And so the beggar shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd tells him, "Keep it down, quiet." And then he shouts again, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus hears him, and he stops. And he asks the crowd to bring the man to him that's been calling out. And so when they're face to face, Jesus asks him, "What do you want from me?" And he just simply says, "Lord, I want to see." That's it, just five simple words. That's all he wants. He wants to see again. And so Jesus gives him his sight back, not by some grand gestures or, you know, he just simply says, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well," or "your faith has healed you." When we look at the three phrases that the blind man spoke, he acknowledges that Jesus is more than just a regular man. Twice he calls Jesus the Son of David, and he calls him Lord. You know, this man has heard about Jesus. He understands that Jesus is more than just a man, and he's also someone that can help him. And he also knows that it's not the man, Jesus, who is doing these things. He knows he can do this because he is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, the promised one. And so now this man who has been struggling with being accepted into society because he is blind, he is welcomed back into the crowd. It says in our scripture that the crowd was amazed that this man could see again. So once again, Jesus is giving someone back something they need. I mean, Jesus is giving him more than just his sight back. He's given the man back his life. This man won't need to beg anymore. He can work. He can find a job. He can support himself from now on. So by the simple act of giving back his sight, the man receives his life. It's a great contrast to the disciples who can't seem to see who Jesus is. Yet this blind beggar can easily see there's something special about Jesus, and he is the one who God promised. The disciples can't see who Jesus is, but this blind man receives his sight after he sees Jesus. And now we finish with one more story about sight. I think we're familiar with the story of Zacchaeus. It's kind of a Sunday school story that many of us have probably heard before. There's even that cute little Zacchaeus song that maybe you were taught, you know. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, right? You know that. We're told Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Now, we're not sure what a chief tax collector does because there's no job description anywhere to be found for a chief tax collector. But Luke points it out, probably indicating that this man is a well-known man in the community, and he's also very wealthy. We're told he's a small man, but if you look at the Greek word, it doesn't actually say short. It could also be translated as diminished, which could indicate his social standing in the community as a hated tax collector. So whether he's short or not, or just simply ostracized, we're not sure. It could be either. But for whatever reason, he hears of Jesus coming to town, and just like the blind beggar, Zacchaeus wants to see him. So whether he's short or he just can't get in through the crowd, he climbs a tree to get a bird's eye view. tax collectors are known as cheats. They collect tax on behalf of the Roman Empire, but they also tend to make huge markups so that they can fill their own purse as well. As a result, tax collectors are hated by the general public. So when Jesus stops at the base of the tree to talk to Zacchaeus, people would be expecting Jesus to teach him a lesson. I mean, you just go back through the last few verses of Luke to see how Jesus relates to rich people, and we understand why we expect this to happen. I mean, last week we looked at the rich man and Lazarus, and we saw how Jesus gave the rich man a really hard time about how he treated the poor and how he didn't share his wealth with them. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells the story of a rich man who tried to store up all of his surplus from his farm and everything for a rainy day, and he wouldn't share it, he just tried to lock it away. But then we find out he loses his life and loses all that he has. And just before what we read today in Luke chapter 18, Jesus was approached by a rich young man seeking to know how it is he can gain eternal life. And so Jesus sees his dependence on his possessions and tell him to sell everything he has and give it to the poor. So Jesus has not been kind to rich people to this point in the Gospel of Luke. So here in Luke 19, we have Jesus standing at the base of a tree, looking up at the sinful, filthy rich, hated tax collector. We know. We just know what's going to happen, right? I mean, Jesus is going to shred him to pieces over this. I mean, the crowd, they just can't wait to see it. Instead, Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. And the crowd starts to mutter, how can Jesus go and stay with a sinner? Everyone can see he's rich. Everyone can see he's clearly another one of those tax collectors. How could Jesus go to his house? What does Jesus see in Zacchaeus that causes him to stop and talk? After Zacchaeus comes down the tree, he hears the crowd muttering that he's a sinner, that he doesn't deserve the company of someone as great as Jesus. And what does Zacchaeus say? Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus is speaking in the present tense. He does not say, I will give half my possessions to the poor. He says, I give half my possessions to the poor. See the difference? It seems that this poor, wretched, sinful Zacchaeus is not the evil man that the crowd has put him out to be. Zacchaeus is a generous man already. He gives to the poor half of his income. This is before Jesus even says a word to him, as far as teaching goes. And Zacchaeus also goes on to say that if I have defrauded anyone, if I have cheated anyone, I will give them back four times the amount. Does this sound like a sinner and a cheat? We like to think that this exchange took place at his house, but there's no change in scenery. This is in the crowd at the base of the tree. Zacchaeus is saying these things to Jesus and to the crowd. The people see Zacchaeus as a sinner and a cheat because he is a tax collector. He's a well-known tax collector. He may be some sort of regional manager of tax collectors for all we know. But what we're learning today is that the crowd saw him in the wrong light. They were wrong. Because Jesus declares right after he says it that salvation has come to the household of Zacchaeus, because he is a child of God. The disciples can't see who Jesus is. They can't see what it means when he says, the Son of Man will die. The blind man can see who Jesus is, though. And then because of his faith, Jesus rewards him with a place in society, where he can live a good life. The crowd sees Zacchaeus as evil and a sinner, but Jesus sees who he truly is, a generous man worthy to be called a child of God. Sight plays a big part in who we are as people. We use our sight for so many things. We also use our sight to judge people based on their lifestyle, for good or for bad. We all have preconceived notions of how the world works and how people fill different roles within it. We choose to see it this way, whether intentionally or not. Jesus sees so much more. Jesus can see through this exterior we put on for display as we try to please people in our lives. Jesus sees into our hearts. He knows our deepest secrets. He knows what we do, which are pleasing to God, and those which are displeasing to God. He knows it all. And throughout Lent, we've been challenged to look at what we do. We are challenged to look at how we view the world around us. We are challenged to reevaluate our lives in relation to this invitation from Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. What keeps us from seeing truly who Jesus is, even when we know he can see who we truly are? And he wants to change us. He wants us to be what God truly wants us to be, his child, his deeply loved child. Will you put your trust in Jesus, the one who sees deep into your heart? Will you let him in there so that you can be God's precious child? Jesus wants us to see the life God has planned for us. Jesus wants to transform us more into his likeness, with a heart for God and a heart for those God loves. Will you let Jesus walk on by, or will you do anything to get him to stop and be with you? Call out his name, climb a tree, wave, scream, beg. Jesus will stop for you and come into your life if you truly seek him, if you truly seek the Son of Man, the promised one, our Lord and Savior. He will stop and he will change your life. This is a promise we know he will keep, because he's done it over and over again for 2,000 years, and he will continue to do it until he returns and we are all part of the family of God. This we know. This is our promise, that when we see Jesus for who he truly is, he will change our life and we will know God like never before. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you see so many things we cannot see. You see into the hearts of men and women who seek you out in the midst of the crowded ways of life. You see our failures, our sins, our selfish desires, and you still love us. Help us to accept this love and allow you to work within us to make us new. Help us to be transformed into the image of God, as you have shown us how to live as his children. Help us to see the world and people around us for who they truly are, a people with hearts where God, our Father, will lead, restore, and heal. But we first ask you to start with us, Lord Jesus, so that we may be part of this beautiful transformation. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.